The Gospel of Matthew. We are in Matthew chapter 5. We begin our study in verse 43, and we will go through chapter 6, I believe verse 18. So Matthew 5, 43, Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. You have heard, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, people may say hate your enemy, but I can tell you that God doesn't. God never commands us to hate anyone. Not even those who hate us, not even those who are bad to us. Not those who insult us or say or do bad things to us. He doesn't command us to hate them. That's the way the world does it. That's not the way we're supposed to do it. Look at God's standard. Jesus lays it out in verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's just the opposite of hating your enemies. We don't have to like our enemies or want to be around them, and we shouldn't feel guilty if we don't want to be around someone. But God commands us to love them. You say, well, how can I love someone that I don't even like? Simple, one doesn't have anything to do with the other. Liking doesn't have anything to do with loving. You love them by being nice to them, and being nice to them includes praying for them. And so when somebody treats you bad, bite your lip and say a prayer for them. Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So notice the definition of love that Jesus gives. Bless, do good to, pray for. It's all actions. That's how you love someone, with good actions. 45, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. God is good to good people. God is also good to bad people. So who are we to say that we won't be good to those who do bad? We have no right to be that way. 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? God wants his people to have higher standards of conduct for themselves than the average person. Even bad people are good to those who are good to them, so what's the big deal if Christians are like that? That's not making a statement. If Christians only love their friends, well, then they're not acting like God, because he also loves his enemies. 48. Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. In other words, have the same character as God. And if we're going to be like God, then we must forgive people and be kind to everyone, because that's what he does. Chapter 6, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Drawing attention to self purposely is wrong. Even doing good works to draw attention to self is wrong. Good works are not enough if the motive is wrong. Doing good to win the admiration of people is a self-centered motive. It is a sinful motive which will not be rewarded by God. The Bible says we're to do all things for the glory of God, not the glory of self. 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. In other words, when we do something nice, we shouldn't say, hey, everyone, look at me. Did you see what I did? If people honor us because we've done something good, that's fine. As long as we didn't do the good work for the purpose of being honored and to draw attention to ourselves, that's when it becomes wrong. So even a good work can be a bad work in the eyes of God. 3, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. God knows everything we do, and he knows what we're thinking as we do it. If we do good because it is good, if we do good because we know it will make God happy, then he knows all about that. He knows what's in our heart. And here's the thing, long after we forget about the fact that we even did it, he still remembers it, because God doesn't forget anything. He still remembers it, and he will reward us for it in eternity. 5, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their rewards. Praying to be noticed by people, same thing. God doesn't appreciate that at all. God will not answer a prayer that is prayed to draw attention to self. Anyone who tries to be eloquent in prayer in order to impress those who hear is wasting their energy. They're not praying, they're putting on a show. Prayer is talking to God, not performing for people. Who cares if you're not eloquent? What difference does it make? 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. In other words, don't pray so that other people will admire you. Now, public prayer is not sinful. Public prayer to get people to notice you, that's sinful. Public prayer to get people to admire you or to be in awe of your great eloquence, that's sinful. That's one of the most disgusting things in the world, is to use something as sacred as prayer to draw attention to self. The fact is, though, where we pray isn't important. Could be public, could be private, doesn't matter. Why we are praying is the important thing to God. 7, but when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now, there isn't anything wrong with memorized prayer. And there isn't anything wrong with repeating prayers. The bad thing that Jesus is coming down against here is not repetitive prayers, but empty repetitive prayers. Nothing wrong with repeating prayers. There can't be, because Jesus repeated his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane 3 times. And if you look in the book of Psalms, there's a prayer there. The book of Psalms is just prayers for the most part to God. And there's one psalm there that repeats the same thing over and over and over again to God as a prayer. Repetitive prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. But I know people who say, well, if you pray the same thing twice, you're not going to get it, because that means you don't have faith in God. How stupid. Read your Bible. Jesus prayed the same thing 3 times. Are you going to get? You going to tell him that he doesn't have any faith? Nothing wrong with repeating prayers, but there is a problem with empty babbling in prayer. In other words, there is a problem with mindless repetition or saying words without even thinking about God. That's when it becomes a problem. And it's really not that hard to understand why God isn't impressed with that sort of nonsense. I mean, how long would you listen to someone who kept babbling nonsense and wasn't even thinking about you as they babbled? supposedly they're talking to you and they're just babbling, rambling on and on and on. They're not even looking at you. They're not even thinking about you. You'd walk away. So does God. Therefore, verse 8 says, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. We're not telling God anything that he doesn't already know when we pray. So we might as well just get right to the point. Get right to it. By the way, prayer is more for our benefit than for God's. God doesn't need us to fill him in on what's happening in our lives or what we want, because he already knows what we're going to ask for before it even enters our mind. Prayer is for our benefit. Now, God has chosen to work through prayer for some mysterious reasons, so prayer does make a difference, but it's for our benefit, because prayer is a way for us to focus on God, and that's good for our soul. Verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven. Jesus is going to teach us to pray the Our Father, and this is a good prayer to pray. And I know there are some evangelicals who would just be shocked that I said that. Oh, you shouldn't pray this prayer word for word. Well, Jesus said, in this manner pray. Another translation, when you pray, say. It's a great prayer to pray word for word. It covers all the bases. But it's also a good model prayer. And so Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. In other words, we should remember that when we pray to God, we're praying to our Father. And he is the perfect Father. Imagine that, having a perfect Father that you can talk to anytime. God has all the good qualities of an earthly Father, but with none of the flaws or the limitations. And we need to remember that when we pray. We're praying to that kind of a Father. So Jesus says, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name is praise. It refers to praise. And so the point is, there ought to be some praise mixed in with our prayers. And no, God does not need a pat on the back. He's not asking for praise because somehow he has a bad self-image or something and he needs to be propped up. He always needs a pat on the back. That's not it at all. God doesn't need anything, especially from us. We are to praise him. He deserves our praise. That's the point. And he deserves our honor. It's the proper way to approach our holy and good and perfect Creator God. That's why there should be praise. 10. Your kingdom come. We're to pray for God's kingdom to come. That means we're to pray for the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he will make everything brand new. And praying for God's kingdom to come also means that we should pray for people who do not know Christ, pray that they will not go to hell, because without Jesus, that's where they're headed. We need to pray that God's kingdom will come in their life, and it does make a difference. God does work through prayers for some mysterious reason, and God's people then can actually have a part in saving some soul from hell if you pray, God, let your kingdom come into that person's life. So Jesus says, pray, your kingdom come. Pray, your will be done. Pray, God, let your will be done. In other words, we should only pray for what we think God would like, because in the long run, that's what's best for us. But it's just the proper thing to do, because this is a theocentric universe. It is a God-centered universe. So we should pray for God's will to be done. Pray for what you think is best. We should use our mind in prayer. Pray, you know, for what you think would be right. Absolutely. But also pray and ask God to do what he knows is best. Pray for what you think is best, but also pray for what God knows is best in any given situation. Father knows best. Verse 10 again. Jesus says, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what? God's will is being done in heaven. There are people living in heaven right now, alive and well. Everybody who died without Christ goes to heaven. And there are people living in heaven right now. And those people are always doing what God wants them to do. They never do anything bad. Jesus says, we should pray that people on earth will stop doing bad. We should pray that people on earth will want to make God happy. He deserves that. Notice how these prayers are, how this prayer is so God-centered. And then, after we focus on God, then we come to verse 11 and Jesus says, pray this too. Give us this day our daily bread. Ask for what you need. We are supposed to ask God to give us the bread that we need for today, or the food that we need for today. And bread actually would include anything else that we need to keep going physically. Jesus' words here are a reminder that whether we realize it or not, we depend completely on the God who made us. We are paupers. We have no way of supporting ourselves. Everything we have comes from God. 12, and forgive us our debtors, or forget us our debts or our sins as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus says we should pray for forgiveness. You say, well, I don't know. I haven't done anything wrong. Listen, we all need forgiveness. Whether we realize it or not, we do. You say, yeah, but I haven't done anything bad. Well, maybe not today. But the question is, have we done all the good that we're supposed to do? See, that's a whole different category of sin that people often forget about. Sin is doing bad. But sin is also not doing good when you have an opportunity. And people forget about that. Someone says, well, I haven't sinned today. Well, have you loved God 100% of the time? Because if you haven't, you've sinned. Have you loved people, including your enemies, 100% of the time today? Because if you haven't, you've sinned. See, that's why we need to ask God for forgiveness. We need to ask God for forgiveness for ourselves, but we also need to forgive others when they say they're sorry to us. Forgive us our sins, Jesus said, as we forgive others. And more on that in a couple of minutes. 13. Jesus continues, pray this too, and do not lead us into temptation. Well, God doesn't tempt us to sin. But he does allow us to get into situations which test our devotion to him. There are just bound to be situations like that in this sinful world, and we should ask God to help us not to give in to those temptations. Because prayer will help. So Jesus says, when you pray, say, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. When we don't give in to temptation, we are resisting the devil. And the Bible says that if we resist him, he will flee. And so God gives us the grace to say no to what is wrong, but we're better able to apply that grace to say no to what is wrong when we pray for God's help. And that's why Jesus says, pray that we be delivered from evil. 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And this means exactly what it says. If you forgive others, God will then forgive you. If we do not forgive those who say they are sorry to us, then God will not forgive us either. You say, well, yeah, but this person really did something bad, and I just can't forgive them. Well, then you're not going to be forgiven by God. If we do not forgive those who say they're sorry, no matter how grievous that sin might be, and again, we don't have to like them, we don't have to want to be around them, but we better forgive them. In other words, we better not get revenge. We better pray for them. We better be kind to them. Because if we don't do that, then God's not going to forgive us. In fact, Jesus is going to elaborate on this a little later on in a future message. He's going to teach that the forgiveness that we already experienced will be reversed. if we do not forgive others. 16. Moreover, Jesus says, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. And some people get hyper. I mean, they refuse to tell anybody that they're fasting, or, you know, they get all shook up if somebody finds out that they're fasting. It's no big deal. If others know that you're fasting, it's not a big deal. It is a problem, though, when a person fasts and purposely looks pathetic so that others will think that they're some kind of a martyr. Again, it's this idea of drawing attention to self that's the problem. But a person like that, their fast is a waste of time as far as God is concerned. They'd be better off eating. 17. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. In other words, don't fast to impress people. Let your fast be between you and God, and offer your fast as a prayer to God. The Lord will reward a fast like that. And we'll pick it up in verse 19 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.